So we're continuing our little mini sermon series. First slide up, please. Thank you. What's my, your, our story? What's my, your, our story? So off the back of the pause, and I have to apologise for those who don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about pause, as in an animal's pause. I'm talking about, as a church recently, we spent about 6 weeks of just pausing. Not all activities, but ideally to spend time to refresh, to renew, to hear from God afresh as a church family. What are you saying to us? What are you saying to me? So what is our story? What is my story? What is your story? And I have to apologize that some of that communication about what we're doing at the pause has been not forthcoming, i.e. what's the plan? So we've had the pause, then well, what now? So I'll be sending something out this week. So I can only apologize that hasn't been communicated to you. So, who are we? Next slide, please. Thank you. So we're going to look at a few verses of scripture. I need to get the verse up because it doesn't actually say it on there. Some of you may know this verse. I don't know. I'm not going to. I'm just going to do this. So, the Samaritan woman encounter in the New Testament. Jesus knows our stories already. Jesus knows who we are. He knows the numbers of hairs on our head. I tried to catch Andrew's eye then. But he does. Jesus truly knows our story, our journey. He knows what we've gone through. He knows who our parents were, are. He knows the difficulties we face where no one else knows. He knows those moments where we've been, wow, this is amazing. He knows about us more than we know ourselves. He's the author and perfecter. He's our creator. And he's our God. He's our savior. Now, this encounter that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at the well is such a fine example of how Jesus knows us. But I would say that Jesus doesn't just go, well, I know what you're doing. Wrong. You need to sort your life out. Come on, you idiot. No, that's not my personal journey of Jesus. Now we have to recognize that there is God's love, but there's also God's wrath. There is judgment, and we're not the judge, God is. But that's why Jesus' atonement, as we've just celebrated together, God sent his only son, that atonement sacrifice, atoning sacrifice, so that we can know God our Father, that we are, our sins are forgiven. So this Samaritan woman, Jesus talks a lot about living waters. They're at this well. There's a whole deep dive into what that whole encounter is, but we're just going to stick to the essence of this encounter. Jesus knows us. He knows the people who have hurt us. He knows the people who we have journeyed with, who we've loved, who we struggle. He knows all of our circumstances. And he is the one, absolutely, totally, without any doubt, who will sustain us and whose living waters, truth, love, hope, they will sustain us and guide us and hold us. Next verse, please. No, well, next slide. 1 Corinthians 26 to 31. Well, that's great that, you know, God, Jesus knows us. But God chose the humble and wise. Well, the humble. God chooses the foolish. That I'm so in that bracket. I am the fool in my family. One, absolutely. My brother, he won't mind me sharing this, I hope not. It's not streamed, is it? Yes! Oh, this is exciting. No. So my brother's 5 years older. He retired at 34. Yes, very high up in stockbroking. He then went on the world cruise, as you do, before 40 years old. And he's got his own business and doing very well. Mortgage paid off. Money's not an issue. Now, he saw his Muppet brother, me, going off and doing the life of drugs, drink, not really doing very academic good stuff. And actually, in his eyes and in many people's eyes, I was just foolish. I was building my life on sand, not on the rock. Then I got married. Well, I got saved first. That's the right way around, hopefully. Then I got married to Ellie. And my brother was like, hang on a minute, he's got married? Whoa. I don't think he thought, let's see how long this lasts. But here we are in our 19th year of marriage, 4 children later. I'm now a minister of a church, which to him is, and many of my previous friends and family, is a miracle in itself that I'm even here, let alone now a Baptist minister. 8 years of training. But God chooses the foolish. Not so that we can carry on being foolish, but because actually it's about his gifts we talked about last week. He gives us the gifts. He sustains us. It's about him and his glory. Not man, for man's glory, but the foolish. Look at the disciples and other people in the Bible who Jesus, God, chose to outwork his kingdom purpose. I take great delight in he chooses the foolish. We don't have to be squeaky clean and well polished and well presented. We need to be authentic and real. And God chooses each and every one of us. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to be well-educated or wrong to be gifted in theological studies or wrong to have money. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Not at all. But God chooses humanity. He chooses us even though we have a sinful nature. Glory belongs to God, called by God. Those who follow Christ are called not because of their own merit, but due to God's purpose and grace. You see, so many, I would say, false expressions of, or false church, or false doctrines, and false teachers, and all these things, where you have to earn your way to knowledge. Gnostic, wisdom, knowledge, revelations. You have to go up the tier, the ladder, the pay for this, the next course, or go through this ritual, then you're going to get more enlightenment. It's about the enlightenment, gaining knowledge. But no, it's because of God. That's who gives us and equips us, our merit, our strength, our being, our identity. God's strength in weakness. Do you know, there's so many, I'm just going to speak quickly to the men. not because I don't like speaking to women, but what does it mean to be a man of God, woman of God? What is it to be a strong man of God? Muscles? Being able to down loads of pints? Being able to dictate and dominate our partners? Being able to go and kill a wild boar with our bare hands? Being able to insert anything? What is it to be a man of God? Humble, passionate for Jesus, servant. Love your wife, if you have a wife. Love your family, your children. Be strong in God. Choose to put God first and surrender our own desires, our own sense of, I'm in charge. Surrender to God, who is vastly greater and superior. Humility. Okay, next slide, please. Now, Romans 12, talks a lot about the faith of people in generations, that trusting, stepping out, trusting in the unknown, trusting and stepping out into massive, vast journeys. Think of Abraham. I mean, that whole journey of trusting and being led and being guided. Faith involves trust and assurance in things not yet seen. You think of Noah's obedience. I was reflecting in my journal. That must have been mad. If you think of that time, you know, Noah's there going, I believe I've got to build an ark. Makes no sense whatsoever. It made no sense. The people are partying. There's not even a hint of any floods coming. And yet, he trusted God. Was made, probably, he felt a little bit like, what? There's people accusing him, people chucking all sorts of stuff at him, and just laughing, ridiculing. But Noah trusted God, and the floods came. How many of us, with this active and alive faith in Christ, will listen and be obedient to things that are not of the world, but of the kingdom of heaven? To be in the world, not of the world. To go against the tide. To go against what everyone else is doing. Not just to be some protagonist or antagonist. I'm going to be a problem because... But actually, to choose not to get drunk. To choose not to watch or listen to the worldly vices. To choose, not just about not, but to choose to recognize, set aside time, truth. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, if more we know truth, which I believe is contained here in Scripture, the more we'll be able to recognize the enemy and what is false. Know the truth. Know the truth. And that takes time. I will say to Ellie sometimes, although we've been married 18 years, I still don't really know you. And I get that look. You probably can't see it, but it's like, really? But we are still discovering and learning things about one another. And we're married. We spend a lot of time together. We're married. We spend a lot of time together. I'm in trouble later, aren't I? But the more we spend time with God, in his truth, in his word, in prayer, the more we will recognize that the enemy is subtle in so many ways. little bit of truth, but so much deceit. So to be able to step out in faith, we've got to know his voice to lead us, to guide us, his truth to help us to navigate through choices we make. Sometimes I've been here, been there. We think we're doing the right thing. We're stepping out. We're trusting. But it ends up being perhaps not quite the right thing. That's okay. It's all right. It doesn't mean that we're discredited. It doesn't mean that our one chance to step out in faith has ended. That's it. We're now not going to be given enough opportunity. If that was the case, man, I would have given up a long time ago. But it's about learning and recognising, okay, I got that a bit wrong. It's all right. God, by your love, by your grace, by your mercy, help me to recognise those areas that I didn't quite hear right, but help me just to keep going, to trust you afresh, to not just give up. It's like picking yourself back off the floor. When we've failed again, when we've returned to a sin that we've said, I'll never do that. Never. Or we've gone back to something where we put a hope into that we know is not right. We know it's not of God. But we go back there because it's easy, it's tangible, it's something we can engage with. It's a quick way out. God's love, grace, and mercy never ends. Our heart, attitude, and approach and our posture is something that hopefully is being refined, that's being equipped, and we're on this discipleship together. But one of the greatest lies, I believe, of the devil is to say, ha ha, you call yourself a Christian, look what you've just done. You failed again. How can God even love you when you've done that? You know what? No, don't listen to that. A little bit of truth. Yeah, we messed up. Yes. But by God's grace, love, and mercy, he already knows we've done that. It doesn't justify us going, well, therefore I can just sin because God knows anyway and he'll forgive me. No. But don't give up. In our weakness, God is made strong. He's, in terms of, he gets the glory, the honour, the praise and adoration. And the next slide, please. So what's the end? Well, Revelation 12:11, there's a lot there. The victory is achieved through the Lamb, Jesus. Jesus Christ, his sacrifice provides redemption, empowering believers to overcome spiritual battles. I'm going to say that again. So Jesus Christ equips us to overcome spiritual battles. We are in a spiritual battle, but we're on the winning side when Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. That doesn't mean that the battle goes away. It means that we're on the winning side, but we've got to know who we are in Christ. He knows us. We're on this journey of faith. Things will come our way that we've got to discern what is of God, what's not of God, and continue to stand, not give up. I wrote a song, or a brief song. No more lying. Yeah, no more lying on our backs. It's time to stand. It's time to re-engage. It's time to fight in the name of the Lord. And that came from, like, basically me going, woe is me. I've done something again. Who am I to say I can be a leader in the church when I've got all these things that I keep returning to? Now, don't worry. It's nothing major, or you don't... The church secretary, it's okay, you can ask me about them. and the leaders, Martin's here as well, you can ask me, I will tell you honestly, but it's not some major awful thing, although sin is sin, arguably. But what I'm saying is we're all sinners. And we all need Jesus. We all need to know and accept his love, grace and mercy. So that question right at the start, on the first slide. So who are you? What's your story? What's my story? What's our story? It's really good to reflect on our story as a church, which is what we kind of did in the pause to some extent, as an individual, and just as where are we going? Where are you leading us, Jesus? And in closing, a casual conversation with someone who would say they have more faith and belief in the Big Bang. This is going to be hopefully maybe a sermon series at some point. It's great to think about science, where do we come from, all those sort of things. But in a short, brief, this is just a brief comment on that narrative. Where did we come from? How are we formed? How is the world created? So if the ratio between the strong nuclear constant and the electromagnetic constant was different by one part in 10 million billion, there wouldn't be any stars. So this is with the Big Bang. Okay, well, that's a huge number. If the balance between the gravity constant and the electromagnetic constant was altered by one part in 10 to the power of 40, the types of stars that would form would be incapable of sustaining planets with life. That's 10 with 40 noughts after it, which is roughly equivalent to covering America and a billion other continents the same size. Just let that sink in. With piles of coins stretching to the moon, hiding one red coin in one of those piles. This is the blindfold bit again. And a blindfolded friend picking it out by chance. I have more faith in the Big Bang than Jesus.
Whoa, you've got a lot of faith.
I need some of that faith. When you start to realise in the world, how can there not be a creator? Because the chances of it just, that's just one thing. I mean, this is a great book. It goes into detail, not from a we're going to prove that scientists are wrong angle. It's simply going, actually, I love scientific theory. I've researched and read all these different theories. And I just want to try and unpack the different belief systems within that. This person is a Christian, but approaching it in that way. And you just think, we have this phenomenal relationship with our Creator, who knows us, who chooses us, who died for us, rose again victorious, so that our story can be part of his story. Wow, that is incredible. I would love us here, Wootton Baptist Church, here in Wootton-under-Edge, to be able to share stories afresh, where we are being led by Christ, stepping out in faith, to be led in these amazing encounters with Jesus, but from a place of humble surrender, knowing that it's about Christ, it's about Jesus, for him and for his glory. So may we be encouraged to share our stories together with the doubts, with the concerns, with the testimonies, with the real authentic faith being outworked with one another. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus. Once again, thank you. Lord, I pray that for those of us here today, and if this recording is being recorded for those who may hear in the future, and for those who couldn't make it, for those who set aside and surrender to you, Jesus, lead us, I pray. Not as individual lone rangers, but as a church body, inspiring one another because of you, recognizing your work through someone's life for you and for your glory. To be able to be vulnerable and open to say, you know what, I've been carrying this for so long. I know it's not right. I know that God knows already, but I want to be accountable. Lord, may the culture here in this place be one of honesty, transparency before you, loving and passionate for your name to be known. Thank you, Lord, for those who have journeyed before, who have trusted you, for those in this place, in this space, this room this morning, who have trusted you. May you lead us further to be more like you. Amen.